Welcome to Soma Soulworks Podcast. We hope here to equip, empower, and inspire a global community of creatives through rich, Christ-focused conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello and welcome to the Soma Soulworks Podcast. Today it's me, Sammy, and I have with me Josh.
Hello.
And we wanted to talk a little bit about advergames, which if you don't know, there's sort of a whole subgenre of video game design and making where they're just experiences to advertise either a whole IP as a whole or just completely unrelated non-gaming products. And in our work for hire side of Soma, we have actually been blessed to work on a number of those that have been really fun, and we just kind of wanted to talk about them. What really started this all off is we made one called Threat Hunter for a cybersecurity company. Yeah. And so this was a really unique foray into this where they're like, we want a game that's like a really simple, curated, like 30-second sort of arcade experience. They had all the assets that they wanted, like the art and the UI. They had the design in mind, and it was basically just make this for us. And so Josh was kind of our lead programmer on that, if I recall. It's been a few months now.
Primary, at the very least. Like, I did most of the programming. Yeah. In terms of like a project, it was fairly simple, which was actually kind of nice. We were working with more complicated projects around that, so being able to just kind of like reset and work on something a little bit more mechanically simple was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, and if also our turnaround on that was what, like 3 weeks, 2 weeks? It was really short.
Something like that, yeah.
And I know for my role, we had just come off of one of our what was that called? Our fallow game jam week. And I had learned all this new UI stuff on how to set up buttons and make them do things. And then immediately got to turn around and use all that knowledge setting up Threat Hunter as kind of the primary in-engine design person. Like, even though it was already pre-designed, I kind of got to go in there and put in all the sprites and make the menus work and the buttons click. And it was just like an interesting change of pace to not have to be actively going, okay, how's this work? How's the scoring? How's
yeah?
What's this? What's that?
It was interesting. In that specific case, the company that hired us had figured all that out, and so really it was just to us a matter of, well, how do we accomplish this goal that's already been thought out at least to some extent, and then show them that, and then they can give feedback or iteration.
And then the whole sort of like KPI tracking that they wanted to get out of this was that they wanted to bring this little experience to booths at conventions so that people would see it, want to play it, and then at the end enter their email address to be put in the leaderboard. And apparently it was wildly successful. Like, they got all the numbers they wanted and more, to the point where they actually came back for a second bout and were like, hey, we want a little bit of polish here and there or for you to do this thing. Then we're going to bring it to another convention.
Yeah, they brought it to a couple others, actually, at this point. Every time they ask us to reset the leaderboard for the new convention, so we can sort of track how many places they're bringing it.
That's pretty great. So yeah, all in all, it was a fun project. I don't want to say easy money, but kind of easy money, maybe?
Relatively easy money?
Yeah. Nice change of pace. And then in a similar vein, around that same time, we got approached by some people working with the trading card games for Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And they wanted an AR Instagram filter, so that they could point it at a QR code and then at a picture and watch a rift open up. And so, sadly, we don't have our artist in today to talk about working on that. She got sick. But it was pretty neat that they provided us a lot of their assets, Like they provided us their demo bats that we got to lower the polygons mm-hmm. on and kind of retexture so that it would be performant enough for this, for the lightweight
a phone or mobile device, be able to actually render multiples of them swirling around you and attacking and stuff.
Yeah. They gave us like the actual sound bites too, because that was right after we lost our official sound guy, so they sent me sound bites and I got to kind of cobble them together and try to make it sound like a swarm of the bats. The portal opening and crunching.
Yeah.
But that was interesting because it was the first time we had used this Spark AR engine, which I presume is kind of the only real Instagram filter engine, but none of us had ever used it before. And it seems to be kind of the only one on the market, but it's not really well documented. So there was a little bit of trial and error.
Yeah, there were a few things in the documentation that were not entirely accurate. The big one, because we were trying to do image tracking, was on their page. I can't remember the specifics, but there was a couple of things on that page that didn't turn out to be true. I think the thing I do remember is in their example project for tracking, they have a little prompt that shows that moves, that tells the user to move the phone side to side. Because that's during the phase when the app is trying to like lock onto the image in space. But we just were having really inconsistent results with moving it side to side. In general, it seemed like newer, more powerful phones got it faster, but it was still not consistent. And at some point, Ethan, our project manager, was just messing with it, and he realized that actually moving it towards and away from the image made it lock on a whole lot quicker and a whole lot more reliably. And so we ended up changing our prompt to that, and that worked a lot better.
Yeah. The interesting thing there, too, was that we're so used to working in things like Unreal and Unity, where there's just years and years of forum posts and Reddit posts and of people having problems come up and getting them solved mm-hmm. that we usually are pretty, you know, we dig into those a lot. And then to be here in Spark where there was just almost nothing, nobody was talking about what it was like to use it or being like, hey, I have a problem with this. So we were kind of like...
A lot less, yeah.
Yeah, a lot yeah, less kind of pioneering in there. And I think we were talking about having sort of giving back to the community by writing up like, hey, we learned that when it says move it side to side, actually forward to backwards is better.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing, so that we can try adding to that pool so that the next people trying to solve that problem don't have to search quite as hard
mm-hmm.
or trial and error in the office as often.
And I'm used to programming in like scripts, programming language, but Spark AR doesn't have that, or at least not that I found. So I had to learn how to use their like special visual scripting system, which was not too difficult, but it was something that I was not used to doing. So that was kind of a interesting learning experience.
Nice. And then I guess up in our current time slot, having both those projects as sort of the background of, hey, we started doing this, we can do this more, we got a big opportunity with an IP we can't name yet, but we have been working on building them a Roblox game. Initially, we wanted to make a Minecraft mod, before we found out that that's actually against the terms of service to get paid to make a Minecraft mod. So we sadly had to put a kibosh on that because I love Minecraft and I just wanted to play in it. But Roblox has actually been a really interesting learning curve as well, because it is like a full game engine, just with its own different quirks.
Its own way of doing things.
Yeah. Like they definitely had to simplify things so that they like prevent you from doing certain things, I think, to save you from yourself. Mm. But as with anything, codes, there are workarounds if you're creative, for the most part. But yeah, that's been fascinating because they also use their own, or not their own, they use Lua as the scripting language.
Which is not one I've worked in before, so it's interesting to do. I'm not used to scripting that just runs from the top to the bottom, just by itself. Normally I'm used to C++, C#, where there's functions that get called. And the process goes from there. So yeah, another learning experience, along with just the way they set up like players and stuff. Like if you want a script on a player, you put it in a folder in the project and it automatically gets added to any player, rather than like Unity, what I would do is have like a player prefab, and that player prefab automatically has these scripts. So when a player joins, I give them an instance of that prefab, but Roblox does their own thing. I suppose probably because players have like customization and stuff, so they need to like merge your code with the player's preset appearance.
Mm. Yeah, I made the foolish assumption at the beginning of the project that, because originally I was kind of, me and Joel were the only two that were actually on the project, and I was like, yeah, you know, 9 to 12 year olds play and make Roblox games all the time, how hard could it be to learn to code in that? Yeah, code is still code, even if it's in Roblox, and I have a lot more respect for 9 to 12 year olds programming at that young age, man. So then, yeah, definitely had to, I got you, because there's a lot available on, it has the user generated content like asset store where I could borrow other people's codes. But of course, you know, the more customized you want to get, the more specialized the coding becomes. And that's when I had to just be like, Josh, help, help me, I'm drowning. But it ended up being, yeah, I don't know, just a lot of fun, really neat. Slowly learning more and more. Like there was a lot of user error too. I know for the first like 2 weeks, I was doing something a really kludgy and complicated way, only to find out like, oh, there's the magic little checkbox I need to check to make it not stupid. But it hasn't gone live yet. But we're really hopeful on what kind of viewership and just like success that could have, because going into this we were researching like Walmart has a Roblox experience. There's like a cartoon from HBO or something, Moltown, the Warrior Cats group, and some of these get, you know, really big and are not generating money per se, but they are generating the eyeballs and the exposure. Yeah, the attention. Yeah. But is there anything you think you have, like, you'd add for advice for anybody wanting to make Adver games, or?
Be flexible. Different contractors will have different requirements. So you, like the Threat Hunter we talked about, they had their design figured out. This is the kind of game they want. They knew the kind of game they wanted to make, and they had rough ideas of like, this character has this ability, this character has that ability, they're worth this much points. They had pretty much everything laid out. Stranger Things was a lot more loose. They kind of had a rough idea of like, okay, see image, open portal, but then they didn't know like, okay, what's in the portal? What movement do the bats do? Like they were still trying to decide that along the way. And this Roblox one was, we were given kind of the ability to pitch an idea of what we wanted to make. You'll need to be able to fill in like ideas when the contractor doesn't have it, but also be willing to submit and just do what they want if they know what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was one of the fun, strange things, maybe back on the Threat Hunter project, where we're like, well, technically game design wise, like this would be a much better system, but it's not what the client wants, so you know, that's not for us to decide. We're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what they want. They're happy. We're happy. Yeah. And that sometimes is a hard lesson to learn, to let go of that sort of power when you are doing a fully work for hire thing. But yeah, learning to iterate quickly, take direction. Like, it's definitely good to be able to stand up and say, hey, you know, I think you might get more success in this way, because you don't want to let a client do something that will end up in a failure and then that like burns a bridge between you guys. Mm-hmm. But there's also like, you know, if it's just like, you know, it doesn't matter one way or another, but you have a preference for one thing, learning to let go of your own preferences and biases, which honestly is better, a good skill to have for more than just ad for games, like yeah. just working in a studio in general, being able to set your preferences aside.
Interacting with others in general.
Good point, good point. And so, yeah, if you're a studio and looking to go out and do advert games, honestly, I think I could recommend it. It's been really fun. Like, sometimes you can get... It's a nice change of pace and in a fully creative, sort of innovative space to just follow directions sometimes. At least I find it refreshing. But also then you just get to work with a lot of interesting people and interesting IPs. And if you're looking to advertise a product, we'll try to find some of the articles that we read back when we were doing the initial research pitches. But there are some numbers out there that show that this is actually a lot more effective than you'd think. That having these little experiences for things that are even so far removed from gaming... that people just like to have fun and they remember things when they're having fun. And yeah, it could be a really good way to advertise your anything. With that, we just hope that you have a good week ahead of you, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us for today's conversation. You can find us online at somasoulworks.org. And continue these conversations with our small group curriculum. We hope to see you next time, and have a great day.